Welcome to a very special episode of Heben Goy for the next 2 weeks. As the three of you who listen may know, Bruce is at his ridiculous cosplay apocalyptic shit in a bucket event called Wasteland Weekend. And so I will be having a fill-in, and for the next 2 weeks, it will be Heben Shiksa. For those who don't know, Shiksa is Yiddish for non-Jewish broad. So this one is a special episode I've wanted to do for a very long time about what used to be a passion of mine. It's how I met Bruce, and it's how I met Christina here. Is we were big Howard Stern fans, and I don't think there's an example in pop culture like this of somebody over the span of about a decade completely just nuking their audience and their legacy. Like, as this article Christina sent me sums it up: once an irreverent voice of the common man and a proud outsider, the longtime shock jock has become an obsequious insider, which is just the best way to put it. Those two words sum it up. But Christina and I have done a deep dive really into sort of what happened, trying to piece together a timeline of this, along with kind of our ideas of what the incentives are. Because, I mean, I don't think this was completely organic. Christina and I might disagree on that. I think there were incentives involved. But, you know, this is, in my mind, I don't think this, Bruce and I discussed this on a previous show, I don't think there's anything like this in pop culture.
I agree. Well, first of all, hello, hello. I would like to thank Bruce for trusting me to be the co-host of the Heben and Goy show, temporarily called the Heben and Shiksa show. Bruce, I hope you're having a great time at Wasteland Weekend. I have appeared on the podcast before. It was to talk about my crazy family, but it is true that Dan and I met because we are both fans of the former Howard Stern show, the one that was good, the one that was entertaining. And we've both put in our 10,000 hours, which is a phrase of Howard's, and we're both knowledgeable about the Stern world. And even though it's kind of a coincidental timing that Howard was in the news a lot this week, Dan and I have been working on this podcast for about 3 weeks. So it's really just coincidental that Howard said this week that he hates half his fans.
Yeah, and just to illustrate, so on the screen now, those of you watching, I put, so back in the day, this is years ago, I actually named a couple of buildings that I was part owner of after Stern people. One, Blue Iris Villas, Harmeyer Heights after JD, and then CFF Apartments, which stands for Club Fucking Footed, which of course is Eric the Midget. Sorry, Eric the Actor, rest in peace. Rest in peace, Blue Iris also.
10 years, yeah. 10 years just this week, within the last few days for ETM, Eric the Midget.
Yeah, you know, he died. I mean, you know, I hate that he died, but he, in a weird way, it was good because he would not have been involved at all in the current show.
No, he would not.
But so this is, I just want to, just kind of want to set the table on what a nut job fan I was. And I mean, super, 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 super fan. Didn't miss a show, knew everything by hand, could recite shit. I mean, I still, to this day, if something happens out in the world, like I'll start. Like the other day, I don't remember what it was, but I went topless, T-O-P-L-E-S-S. Like, so it's still part of like my little vernacular, but how, it's not just a situation where I'm not that into it anymore. I actively hate the guy. I actively hate him. But yeah.
I agree with you 100%. The sound of Howard's voice now nauseates me.
Yeah.
And angers me. And I loathe him.
Yeah. So what I'd like to do is, Christine and I kind of divvied this up. Because I basically have not listened almost at all since about 2019, 2018, somewhere in there.
You had a hard out after.
Yeah. I had certain things that I was like, okay, I'm done. But it was around 2018, 2019. And the things that made me stop listening are still very much in effect and the things that are the problem, but it got ramped up. So we're going to sort of go through the years, starting with when he went to Sirius, because a lot of people erroneously say that he went to shit after he left terrestrial radio. That's not true.
No.
That is not true. I mean, I to be fair, I wasn't a huge listener on terrestrial because I lived in Charlotte at the time and he was taken off the air there. But, I'm familiar enough with the material that I feel like I can say that it's a fair opinion that 06 to 08 were maybe the best years of the show.
Absolutely. And Dan, let's preface this by saying that you and I both know former employees of the show. We know them personally.
Yeah.
And without betraying any confidences, we've had conversations with these people and they've been corroborated. Our thoughts have been corroborated.
Yeah. Yeah. Our little Alex Jones style conspiracy theory is not as out there. It's not all that out there. And I think, you can pinpoint the exact sort of year that there was the shift. That is clear. We know what year that is. But I wanted to sort of set the table, start with, look, 06, 08, he goes to Sirius, they're uncensored. It was just great shit with Artie. Absolutely. Before Artie kind of had his issues. Like, I think that was the best years of the show. Between 08 and 10, that's when I would think things in the world had started shifting. You had the great recession. Mm-hmm. You had Artie's issues, departure from the show, suicide attempt. And I am of the belief, and I know Bruce and I have talked about this too, that had to have sort of impacted Howard in some way.
Absolutely. But Dan, I want to back up to 06 to 08 for a minute, because those who are not regular Howard Stern listeners, those who are not super fans, would say, oh, Howard it was all about porn stars and throwing in the Sibian. And that is not even the stuff we're talking about. That was such a minor part of the show. It was people, that guy, Wilder Valderrama, who came on the show and gave like an incredibly honest interview. Even just the staff stuff, like they had staff revelations and staff roasts. It was such an open, honest period of time.
I think that's the bottom line. And we're going to get into that, how it's changed. And I think the bottom line is it was an organic show. And look, I'm sure some of it was exaggerated. I'm sure there was some shtick in there. But it wasn't written days ahead of time.
Yeah.
And you didn't have a fleet of people working on the show. You had a couple of writers who were on air. Everyone knew who they were. Jackie and then Benji. You had the back office people. And it was kind of a cast of characters that everybody knew. There wasn't a lot, in my mind, in those years, of sort of beneath the surface hidden shit that they didn't talk about. It kind of wasn't a thing where you had this, well, we don't discuss that. And like, where it got creepy, where like, wait a minute, why won't you talk about that? Like, so yes, it was. And that's exactly right. People who are not fans are going to say, well, he was just the rabble rouser, jock. And okay, to some degree. But what made the show great was the organic bits. Some of it was written, I'm sure the Tradio stuff, I'm sure they wrote some of that, in terms of some of their lines and all that. But ultimately, that's what it was. It was a handful of guys. You know who they were, Richard and Sal, Benji, Fred. And each day, it sort of felt organic. And as a fan, it felt like you were kind of in an army. You know what I mean?
Yes, it did feel that way. And here's a big part of it. Howard has always been with the ego and stuff like that. But I remember Howard actually got roasted during these years that you have up now, 06 to 08. You were actually allowed to joke about Howard. He didn't like it necessarily.
Mm-hmm. He did.
Never has. But you are allowed to say it. And as our show progresses, you'll see that is no longer
possible. Yeah. I mean, the bottom line is it was a small group working on the show. They were known to the audience. There was a lot about it that was maybe not 100% organic, but it was at least 70% organic, I think.
Yeah.
You had interviews, and the interviews were fine. And if that wasn't your thing, you didn't have to listen. And it's not just a matter of, well, he evolved and he doesn't like, it's not it. That's not it. So, okay. So 08 to 010, the Artie addiction, really bad shit. He leaves the show. They don't have Artie. So this is where, in my opinion, this is where it, so the brewing of the change happened. You have the Robin cancer diagnosis, which hit Howard really hard. And you had the rise of cancel culture. You had a market shift. And I'm not going to go into the details of this. You can Google it. But it, this has been studied. Around 2011, 2012, in my opinion, it was in response to the combined Tea Party on the right and Occupy Wall Street on the left. You had kind of two groups that normally don't get along who were sort of in agreement just about the bank bailouts and all kinds of stuff. And those of us who follow this shit, like me, and are a little nutty, believe, and there's evidence for this. This is, you can Google this. This, like, in terms of the coverage in the media and what the media was talking about and the type of shit they were discussing, you really started to see the rise of what we call culture wars. Things to get people riled up over essentially nothing, but that sort of took the, what I would call the substantive issues off the table. You were no longer talking about bank bailout. You were no longer talking about we are the 99%. That was gone. It became culture war. It became racist, transphobe, this, that, and the other. And without getting too political, I think that Howard and his handlers saw the writing on the wall that, wow, we have a 30-year history of shit that's not going to be acceptable anymore.
Yeah.
And that would have been fine to just shift into a lighter kind of thing, still have the organic show, still poke fun at the guys who work in the back office. But I believe what happened, and we'll get into this in the next step, but I believe what happened is you started to see some corporate shit happen behind the scenes, and they're like, we need to get some consultants in here, and we need to talk about how to, because this is a zillion-dollar operation.
Right.
I mean, look, no matter how we want to say that these are ha-ha guys and they just have a good time and they go into work and they make dick jokes. This was a lot of money, a lot of money.
Let's fill the audience in who may not know about a couple of traits of Howard's personality, Howard's real personality, not what he's kind of known for by those who aren't super fans. Howard is a coward. This is like actually well known. He does not have a backbone and he will bend. He does not want controversy of any kind. Howard is also personally not a wild guy. The guy goes to bed at 8 p.m. and that's been the case for years and years and years. Additionally, at this time, he was going on a major network show, AGT. He was going on America's Got Talent. And that was a huge, huge factor in the show. So Howard has also, it's worth noting that Howard has always had this agent, Don Buchwald, who just passed away actually a couple months ago, who always had his back. And Howard did not do anything without Don's say so. Howard was not a risk taker. Howard was not at all. A lot of this was orchestrated by Don Buchwald. So a lot of people think Howard is this renegade. He's not at all. Howard is
I think it's sort of, there was a duality there for many years where he cultivated a successful format based on being an outsider, being hating, kind of, you know, being different, being not in polite society. But the real Howard, the mere idea that there is this movement that could completely fuck him and get him, quote, canceled to a point where he has no audience anymore, no ever, whatever. 100%, I believe that if someone sat him down and showed him, look at what's going on now, look at what the news is covering, this could be you. I absolutely 100% believe that would have worked.
And if that did happen, it terrified him.
Yes.
Because Howard does not know how to live if he's not famous in his mind, famous in his mind. He doesn't want that world.
No. And so that leads to the next slide, which is the shift begins. 2013 is the year. Like, that's when everything takes effect. That is when the big staff gets hired. They hire Marcy Turk, who she's vilified and she's sort of the face of it, but she's just one person. There's way more people involved.
She's pretty awful, though.
She is. No, I mean, she was this person with this totally shit resume. I don't know how she got that job.
Yeah.
But regardless, she comes in, she becomes basically Howard outsourced his organization. He said, I don't want to run it. I don't want to be the guy. I don't want anyone talking to me. I want someone else handling everything. And to some degree, I get it. He was getting older. You get older, you don't want a deal. I'm 51. I don't want a deal. So I get it to an extent. But what happened was,
we heard this from a Page Six article in 2015. That's how we first heard of Marcy Turk. And once the fans read that article, we were like, okay, this makes sense.
So on the left side of this picture, you'll see a still from the very famous Pelican Brief, which is what they call it.
Radio Gunk, which is a hate listen podcast to Howard. I do listen to their show. They dubbed it the Pelican Brief. Other Stern show podcasts refer to it as the Summit. It's either called the Summit or the Pelican Brief.
So here's what we know. We know that in 2013, all the staff was summoned to this auditorium.
And it happened to be the same day that Jewel was interviewed. We know that.
They were summoned to this auditorium for what was basically a PowerPoint presentation with Howard giving it. Okay. This was not like a 5-minute thing. This was an hour, right? Pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
I captured this still just because this really captures it. So there's Howard on stage. The slide says, for those who can't read it, tweets, everyone, meaning everyone on the staff, creates fake Twitter accounts. Hey, Lady Gaga. Howard Stern loves you. Go on his show. So this is where we are, right? We are now.
This was cringe to the infinity.
This is on YouTube. So anyone can Google this. This is out there to see. You can watch it. This was 2013. And basically my thought is that the shift begins. The show goes corporate. He's gotten this information that there's a culture shift going on. He's outsourced his entire organization to this Marcy Turk person, this Jeremy guy. They run the organization and they said, okay, we're going to shift. We're going to go more interview heavy. I would imagine that in that initial thought of, hey, we're going to go more interview heavy, the question comes up, well, wait a minute. All these people are not going to want to go on the Howard Stern show because they think you're going to throw fucking, you know, sausage at them or whatever.
Bologna in your ass or something.
So I think, again, they have this summit and there's Howard, you know, and again, watch, I'm not even, you just need to watch it. It's so bad.
Really do. It is so, let me tell you, give you an example of how ridiculous it is. Howard, for real, wanted Richard Christie to make a fake Twitter account to lure Brad Pitt onto the show. For real. Like, Howard thought that would be an effective way because Richard Christie loved one of Brad Pitt's movies and it made him cry or something. And so Howard was like, Richard, you need to do that. You need to get Brad Pitt on the show. Set up a fake Twitter account and tell him how much you loved Legends of the Fall and get him onto the show. Yeah. Like there are no such thing as publicists or anything. It's all up to Richard.
Well, I mean, Howard is in a bubble. We'll get into that later. But if you watch the Pelican Brief, you'll get an idea. And again, this is 11 years ago. So
yeah,
again, our theory is he brings in consultants. The consultants say, Howard, let's get you a real organization. Let's get you real people running this thing. Let's get some real corporate types in here. Everyone started having to dress up to go to work. Right.
He called them all slobs. He called
this was a rule. They had to come in with collared shirt. Like, again, and it doesn't, you know, okay. The bottom line is there is a series of things that happened that sort of show you the culture shift within the show. And it all is pinpointed to 2013. Again, he outsources the whole organization. That part I can kind of get. But again, over the long haul, it completely transformed, changed what the show is 100%.
And also, he didn't know if Robin was going to live or die at that point.
Yeah, I think going through the Artie thing, going through the Robin thing, there's a part of me that understands. I understand why he would want to shift to do interviewing if he enjoys that. I can understand, even given the information, look, man, times are changing. You're going to have to change. I can understand a lot of that. I really can. Yeah, and, I can. And I'm not, but what happened is way beyond that.
Yeah.
This was a planned thing. So we moved to 2014 to 2019, which was the last time I listened to the show, which is they hire, by most accounts, dozens of writers.
There are presently, as I understand it, 70 staff members on this show.
Yeah.
For 3 days a week with Howard works, I think, 255 hours a year is what is broadcasted right now.
Right. Well, that's, yeah, we'll get into that. But right. So essentially, we start with a show with a handful of key contributors who the audience all knows. It's all kind of a family thing, sort of, where you know these people, you feel like you know these people. They hire dozens of people. Everything becomes fake. Phone calls become fake. Yep. Everything is written. Everything is canned. Like, they have these, oh, Bobo's toupee is on the phone. I mean, just
right.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Just not funny. I mean, at all. And no, the whack pack basically becomes less of a thing. The back office riffing becomes less of a thing. All the stuff that made most of the super fans like the show goes away.
Even it went so far as the show phone number changed from 8889-ASSHOLE to like an actual 800 phone.
Yeah, number. I can almost see the PowerPoint that was passed around and the memo, the internal memo from Marcy or whoever saying, mm-hmm. we need to become more serious and that's not serious. You know, that's the kind of shit.
Yeah.
Like, having been in corporate America, I can see it in my head, like mm-hmm. how all this went down. But again, I think it's fair to say that most super fans, if you said to them, what is it about the show that makes you, that you like the most? They would say back office riffing, whack pack, and the organic nature of it. I don't think it's the celebrity interviews, and I certainly don't think it's the pre-written segments.
No, no.
So basically the show became something else, right? And I, for my own reasons, was like, look, I'm sick of this shit. Why am I listening to this? Right?
Why are you paying money for it?
I am paying to listen to this. They're going on vacation all the time. That I can write off. He's old. That's fine. The issue is, it just feels like they're trying to be something else. And that's fine, but that's not for me. So I was not at a point where I hated Howard. I was just like, okay, this is what you want to do. I'm just not going to listen anymore. Right? That's all. That's where I was in 2019. Right? I'm just done. Like, you at that point were like, okay, I'm just going to keep up with it.
We even had some disagreements about it. I was like, you're being ridiculous. And,
I had certain trigger points that I admit were a little nutty. But regardless, I was right in the sense that it portended what was going to happen. Right. Mm-hmm. And then we know what happens. 2020 hits, COVID hits, Howard's brain turns to jelly. He refuses to leave his house for years. Right to this day, he's still broadcasting from his basement. Mm-hmm. And basically, it's the rise of what I call the Emperor's New Clothes format.
Yeah. Where
this is a guy who is completely living in a bubble, who has no clue about reality. Does he know his audience has gone to zero? I don't know. But, you know, just to give you an idea, how is the Howard Stern different since 2020, right? I put this together based on what you said. Here's a recent picture. This is what the show is now. This is, there's a sofa, and there's the guests who are there, and then there's Howard on a screen in a fake studio.
Yeah, that's not even the actual studio. They've created this off a room on the studio, in the actual studio.
So I wanted to go through the thing since 2020, and I, of course, wouldn't know this because I don't listen, but Christina put this together. So what has changed since 2020 in the past 4 years? Well, first of all, no more Robin's News, which I didn't know.
Yeah. So I'm going to say I need to back up before this and say that there was another huge transition. And that was, and I don't want to get into politics at all, but I'm going to mention that the show changed a lot when Donald Trump was elected president in 2016 and served, you know, for 4 years. Howard knew Donald. They were at each other's weddings. And Howard fix it. It was a really interesting time because when Howard was running, I'm sorry, when Donald was running for president, Howard would say things like, I know Donald. He'll probably want me. And I'm not making this up.
No. This was 2015. I was still listening.
Yeah.
Like Howard, he would speculate that maybe he would have a role in the administration.
Yes, like he was
now,
gonna
have he a did role. Say, why does he want this aggravation?
Yes.
Which I thought was a really good, I thought that was a really, really good thing to say. I thought that was, yeah, I agree. Like, yes. You're a billionaire. Why do you want this aggravation? I thought that was a good observation. Yeah.
So then Trump gets elected, and at first, and no one remembers this, but at first Howard was like, the only thing I pay attention to is I watch Fox News and I want their Trump coverage. That's the only thing I want. I want Trump, Trump, Trump. I pay attention to Trump. All I want is Trump. He was talking about how he would watch Fox News before he had his dinner at 4 p.m.
Yep.
And it was when he coined his famous phrase, I get my spaghetti parmesan and throw half of it in the trash. And he then, I don't even remember, because it's been so long ago now, but I don't remember, but some kind of switch flipped. And I don't
think it was until after I stopped listening, because I think it was COVID. When I was listening again, and I went all the way 2018, 2019.
Made it to the end of 2019.
Yeah. So like that's 3 years, three solid years into the Trump years. And Howard, his main point was really, why does he want to be president? Why does he want this aggravation? And then he had a funny joke where Obama has Trump's old wife. Obama's out there partying and having a good time.
Yes.
And to be fair, I just want to get this out there because there are those who are triggered in general one way or the other by this. Howard's politics, I never gave a shit. Howard, and I'll give an example, right? In 08, I was an Obama guy in 08. I hated Hillary. I was an Obama guy. And Howard hated Obama and he was a Hillary guy. And I didn't like that, but I didn't care. The show was still really good. It did not impact one bit how much I liked the show. Didn't give a shit at all. That he was a Hillary guy. I didn't care. Didn't care. The show was still very good. And then even 2016, right? When the show had started to go downhill, they had hired all these people. It was starting to get crappy. Even then, you know, he was in the tank for Hillary. I hated both of them. So I was just annoyed by the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So, but again, I didn't care. It's not the politics, really. It's not. It's not that Howard has these specific political views that offend me. No, it's nothing to do with that. His brain turned to jelly. Period.
Absolutely.
And I think that, and this is the part that's not all that unusual. Like, so most of Howard, you can't compare to anything else. But when COVID hit, you had the rich Manhattan type people. They were the ones most worried. Your blue collar guy who works at fucking the O'Reilly Auto Parts store wasn't afraid of COVID, right?
Right.
But the rich guy who makes $1 zillion was afraid of COVID. It was a weird thing where kind of the higher up on the income and education ladder you were, the more irrational fear. Because now we know 4 years later, if you were under 70 and reasonably healthy, chances are this was not going to be a big problem for you, mm-hmm. right? Now, Howard fits the mold perfectly. Rich guy. He was older. No problems in life. None. He's got it made. He's rich. He's got a driver. He's makes zillions of dollars. He's his life is awesome. So a virus is a great equalizer because it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. A virus doesn't care, right? So I think when this happened, and it's hard to, at this point, it seems so crazy to say this because it sounds insane, but this was the thought was, well, you know, if Trump just took it seriously, it would be gone by now.
Yeah.
Which is just ridiculous. It was a global pandemic. It was everywhere. Nobody was spared from this. There was no way, unless you were an island nation, to stop the virus. It was not going to happen. It wouldn't have mattered who the president was. You can quibble about policy, and that's fine. But it would not have mattered who the president was. This virus was going to appear.
And New York City was hit hard.
Yes, it was. And it's understandable. High population density.
International travel coming.
International travel, and all of that was early before we really got a grasp of what the true mortality rate was. At that time, early days, like there was people suggesting it was 5%. It ended up being, some people were saying 10%. It ended up being like 0.05 or something. Mm-hmm. So to a certain extent, I give them a break early, right?
But, like from March to May.
Maybe, tops. But this guy completely and utterly went nuts. And
well, his dream. This is what.
But that's what's crazy. He went nuts and he was angry. But on the other hand, this gave him what he always wanted, mm-hmm. which was, I don't want to leave the house. I want servants bringing me food and bringing me what I want and
but
driving
me around. The servants. It was Beth. Beth was his servant.
I'm sure he had people cleaning his house and all that.
Supposedly, I mean, I listened during all, they sent everyone away and Beth. Okay.
Did all right. That. Well, then it fits the profile. Rich guy, no problems. Like, so on one hand, on one hand, he's angry, right? Because the virus is here and I don't want the virus here. I don't want to die. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, this is the life I want. I want this life. I mm-hmm. want to not ever see anyone. I want servants to be masked. I want to never leave the house ever for any reason. Yep. Right.
He does not.
And it's 4 years later and look at where we are. If you're doubting this is what he wants, Howie Mandel left the house 2 years ago.
Right.
So, exactly. And he's a germaphobe. So this is germaphobe, but there's more to it. And
he doesn't, it's germaphobe, but also elitist because he doesn't want the riffraff around him.
Yeah. And that kind of was what drove it for the rich people, in my opinion, is, and you saw it in pictures, you would see them unmasked at weddings or whatever with the servants all masked. I mean, mm-hmm. it became a parody. So anyway, 2020 hits, his brain turns to complete, slowly, not overnight, turns to complete jelly. This guy becomes irrational to a point where no normal person can wrap your brain around this.
So let me tell you, I was listening at the time and I was a daily listener of every single minute. I did not miss a minute of the show unless it was an interview because I've never, ever, ever been interested in Howard's interviews and I'm still not. I don't listen to them. But staff antics and whatever, I absolutely love. They're my favorite thing. So it's so interesting. So you put the date March 12th, 2020 in your mind because that's the day all hell broke loose. Prior to that, I was trying to find clips of it. Of course, there are none. So let's say around March 1st, someone was talking about COVID. I remember clearly Howard saying, this is just not on my radar at all. I need to figure out what's going on. I need to like pay attention to it. Well, once it hit Manhattan, Howard paid attention and he fled. There was supposed to be a show on March 12th. There was not. Okay, I understand. We really were in the midst of a global pandemic and that's the around the
time. Yeah, I give people in New York City a certain amount of slack in March of 2020. Yeah. Even in April 2020.
What's so funny? So March 12th, 2020, he missed a show. President's Day weekend, 2021. But Monday, so President's Day, 2021. So almost a year later, Howard broadcasts and he starts the show going, Robin, we're usually off today. But we're not off today. Can you guess why? Can you understand? Can you even begin to imagine why? And she's like, no, Howard, I have no idea why we're broadcasting today when we usually have the day off. And he's like, well, he goes, Jennifer Witz, who is the CEO of SiriusXM, and she was very new at the time. He goes, Jennifer Witz made us broadcast today because we missed the March 12th show last year when there was a pandemic, which we're still in. And he was such a baby brat about it. And he has a fake Jennifer Witz on staff and he had her call in. It was the most unfunny thing ever. I mean, it was ridiculous.
I'm surprised that they would have forced him. that he would have gone along with it.
Dan, if you do the math, for Christ's sake, the amount of money this guy makes per show, and I'm telling you, I would have made, as a subscriber, I wanted my March 12th money back, or I wanted.
Yes, it's just so hard to imagine.
No,
anyone telling him what to do and him saying yes.
Well, I'm sure they dealt with Don Buchwald, but Howard did not do it quietly. Boy, did he bitch and scream about it all day long. And it's honestly obnoxious. The man, do you realize he works now 255 hours a year? 255 hours a year. And he bitches about every single hour. And people pay for every single
one. Being fair, not that many pay for him anymore. I mean, I'd love to know how many actually pay for him, like who want Howard.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Like, I still pay for Sirius because I like the music channels, but I don't listen to Howard anymore.
For a long time, I refused to give him any money and I refused to pay. But now there's one other show I listen to on Sirius. I'm down to the, if you cancel often enough or threaten to cancel often enough, they give you good deals. So I'm on a good deal right now.
So when did Robin's News stop? I didn't know that.
Robin's News stopped immediately with COVID. So COVID hit March 12th. He missed that show. Then the whole next week they were off. That was a planned vacation. It had nothing to do with COVID.
Fine.
So then he comes back on air and it's all
remote. Okay.
It was all over Zoom, and that's fine. Everyone.
Yeah. No, March 2020. I'm not giving one any shit. So they're trying to cobble a show together. They can't have somebody put together a bunch of headlines for her to read that they could riff on.
No, Robin's News vanished immediately, and it was never discussed. And now here's what happened over some months during that time on the wrap up show. I'm sorry, the Howard Stern wrap up show.
Right. That was another one of the 2013 things.
Yes.
You had to refer to it as the Howard Stern wrap-up show, and what was the wrap-up show went to shit.
Absolutely. It was horrible.
Yeah.
So Gary said that Robin's News went away because there is no other news than COVID, and they discuss it the whole show long. Then later that summer, Jimmy Kimmel is the only one who is able to inject any kind of realism into the show these days. I've got some great examples when we get into it. But the very first summer during COVID, Kimmel said to Howard, "What happened to Robin's News?" And Howard said, "We don't have the technology to do it from home." And Kimmel actually said, "How much does a printer in CNN cost?" And Howard didn't like it. Howard shut it down immediately. So
interesting.
Robin's News vanished and piss poor explanations were given. And I don't expect it to ever come back.
No. So in a broadcast from his basement, which we already know, and that is still happening 4 years later, those of you who say you're just mad because he didn't know, still, this is a mentally ill human being. So, of course, the embarrassing Zoom interviews, we already know that. I showed that picture.
Can you imagine? He wanted Mick Jagger his whole life, and he won't even leave his basement for Mick Jagger. This is Steve Martin and Martin Short.
Yeah,
they were of the first to be interviewed, where they're expected to haul ass up to Sirius XM studio in Midtown Manhattan to talk to Howard on a TV.
Yeah.
Why can't they do that from home?
Yeah, it's so stupid. And anyone, like, this picture with this ghost skeleton-like guy on the fucking TV really sums up. Really, you kind of almost don't have to say anything else. This is what the show is now.
This is what the Howard Stern show has become. Yet he insists on doing interviews. It's like the bulk of his show is interviews.
Well, we knew that. I mean, we knew that was, look. Our speculation is that when they had these meetings in 2012, this whole consultant, let's discuss how we're going to do this before Turk got hired and everything changed. I think that was the thing. Like, look, man, we're going to have to shift this to doing this, and we're going to have to try and sidestep anything we've done in the past. And then you get the Pelican brief, and then come the Zoom interviews. And then you get, you know, summer's off. Wasn't he always off in the summer?
No. And this pisses me.
At least part of the summer, a couple weeks.
He was never allowed more than 2 weeks off at a time, but he would take 2 weeks off in the summer. But no, now he takes the entire months of July and August off. And in 2021, in the last week of June, the way he introduced this to the staff, to the fans, was, and we're going to take our normal, he called it our normal summer break, but we will be back in September. See you after Labor Day. And everyone was like, what the hell? That's not your normal.
It's just Jedi mind trick. We're just gaslighting you. Took the whole summer off.
Gaslighting. So starting in 2021, now I wouldn't mind if he took the summer off if, let's say, 2 days a week, Sal and Richard had a show or something like that. But no, this is behind a paywall.
So what is he broadcasting? This is just
nothing. It is replays of his shows from
current,
that already aired. There's nothing new. Nothing new. No specials, nothing.
So we discussed this too. So what used to be, they used to have real phone calls, at least mostly real, right? And hell, he used to get in fights with some of the people who would call. And it went to completely and I've heard some clips of this, and it is so cringe. I mean, it's just like, it's not even the same show.
It is comical because you can actually hear, there was this one caller a couple years ago calling in regularly. Her name was Dry Lisa. She sounded exactly like the Joan Rivers impersonator. It's clearly a staff member. It's just not even a joke. And then the other thing they do that Radio Gunk, the podcast that is a hate listen show, has learned is they contact regulars like King of All Blacks, and they're like, okay, we're going to give you a topic to introduce. Marianne from Brooklyn, Bobo. We're going to give you a topic and you call in with this. Like, you're not allowed to break script. They'll pick up on you and it'll be a live call, but it's scripted.
Yeah.
It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace.
And this is the part I find fascinating. So the past does not exist. So expound on that. I saw this bullet point and I'm like, so they don't play old shows, like not even replays on 101 of like stuff from 07 or 08, nothing.
They play old stuff, but it's heavily edited. So for example, I don't know if you remember Gary's first pitch at the Mets game.
Of course, yeah.
It was 2009, I think. I don't remember what year it was, but it was Artie was still.
Oh yeah, Artie wrecked him, yeah.
Artie was a huge part of that. Artie is edited out completely of any rebroadcasts of that bit. Scott the Engineer is never mentioned.
That's right, because he's persona non grata now.
Scott is never, ever. There are no, you will never find the Scott the Engineer push up bit on 101. You'll never find
it. Oh my God.
Dan, I don't know if you know this. JD was never married. Did you know that JD was never married? JD's divorced now. They basically broadcasted the wedding. I mean,
wait a minute. What do you mean by he was never married? What does that mean?
JD's divorced now.
No, I know that, but like, why does that matter to the show one way or the other?
I don't know that it does matter to the show one way or another, but you are never allowed to mention, it never comes up, that JD was married. It's just
how do you know it's not allowed to come up?
I don't know. It's just never brought up. And that's the whole tone of the whole show. Brent never worked on the show. Shuli never worked on the show.
Yeah.
Jackie certainly never worked on the show. The amount of stuff that simply does not exist is unbelievable. And Howard used to refer to that stuff. Like, even after Billy West left, you were at least allowed to say Billy West's name.
I am reminded of a Dee Snider quote. And I sent this to you. He did a podcast episode years and years ago on this, on their falling out. And he said, If Howard's mad at you, he talks about you on the air. If Howard's really mad at you, you cease to exist.
Yep.
That's what he said. This was years ago. But yeah. I mean,
well, Howard must hate everyone who's no longer on the show.
Well, yeah. I mean, that, but again, I think if you mix Howard's way, which is if I hate you, you don't exist, with the way corporate America works, which is once you're out of that organization, you might as well be off the planet.
Yeah.
Like, we don't talk about people who used to be here. Like, so I think that's basically what did it, you know?
Sure. But Howard never operated that way in the old days.
No, of course not. No. I mean, even if he would, but yeah, I mean, but it's a long list of people that he won't talk about. That's what's funny about it.
Yeah.
It's not like it's just Artie. It's everybody.
It is. It's Richie Wilson. It's everybody. And if you, they spent so much time on JD's marriage that
they did.
I would think they would spend some time on JD's divorce.
I mean, that's a tough one. I'll be honest. As much as I am with you on all of this, it might be that JD doesn't want that. I mean, I can understand that.
I don't think it's JD's decision. It never has been. I think it's Howard's decision. I don't know if he's like, it's boring. It's not what I want to talk about.
Well, that wife was awful. So I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad he's divorced. We predicted that.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah. So the next one is thou shalt not criticize Howard. So like, it's always been that way to some extent, but how is it worse now?
Now, all of the Stern Show social media has comments off. You cannot comment on their Twitter, their Instagram, their Facebook, nothing.
Awesome.
Howard was even on the air as recently as within the last 10 days saying he has given directives to his staff that they bring him no negative comments. He does not want to hear any negative comments about him. You just are not allowed to criticize.
And Howard. What's hilarious, what's so funny is this change, this whole genesis, the whole point of this, all of this, if you go back to 2013, was to try and stop, you know, cancellation.
No more bullshit.
I'm saying of the Marcy Turk and
oh.
The whole point of it was to stave off negatives that would happen from, you know, cancel culture, whatever. He basically canceled himself.
Yes.
That's what's funny about it.
Yeah.
If he had just shifted to less throwing bologna at strippers and otherwise kept the same show, I just don't think anyone would have gone after him. And if they did, who cares? Is it worth it? Is it really? I mean, I would say, is it worth nuking your audience? But he doesn't know that, you know?
Right. I agree. Yeah.
I had an Emperor's New Clothes thing. I had to find it. I mean, he just, it's become Emperor's New Clothes. I mean, I don't know how else to even describe it.
No, it's a perfect description, really, truly.
I mean, it's just, no one is going to tell him anything, you know?
No, and you're not allowed. Oh, we're going to get to this soon.
There it is. That's the Howard Show right now. That's what it is.
Truly,
we think it's entirely possible. First of all, we pretty well know that his audience has gone to nothing. Like, in terms of people who tune in to hear his show, not people who happen upon it because they're driving. I'm talking about like dedicated core, gone.
There's speculation that it's less than 50,000 people.
Yeah, gone. Compared to what he had. And again, some of it is understandable, fragmentation. It's not like it used to be where he's drive time in these major markets and there's nothing else to listen to. I get that. You have podcasts, you have music. I mean, I get all that. But this is a man who nuked his own legacy and career on purpose.
Yes.
On purpose. And there's a part of me that would love to know, like the people who are behind the scenes, like the Marcy Turks, they know the reality. They know that he's nuked his audience.
Yes.
They know he has no audience anymore.
Yes.
They know he's irrelevant. Now, they're never going to tell him that. But you have to wonder if there's a level of fear there that, like, what if this were to come out? Like, what if any kind of metrics were to come out and just how irrelevant we are and how much, I mean, maybe they don't care because so much money's coming in, but...
That's that money. He's still bringing in money, which is unbelievable to me. And
well, it's a contract.
Right.
You know, the contract goes up, you know, the contract is up in 2026, I believe. And so, because it's 5 years, right? So he started in 06. So it's every 5 years he renews.
It is.
Last renewal was 21. So that takes you to 26. So yeah. He's getting paid a certain amount of money. The part, again, that I find fascinating is the machinations behind the scene. And again, you can blame a variety of people. It's not one person. But all of it has contributed to him becoming an irrelevant figure that is now hated by his previous core audience. Mm-hmm. Not just they don't listen to him anymore. They fucking hate him. Like
they still listen, a lot of them, to hate listen because they can't believe how bad the show is. Now, not everybody listens because they can't stand, like you. They can't.
Yeah, I can't. It just makes me angry because I know the guy's living in a bubble. I know he has no idea. And, you know, I mean, you see some of these quotes that I captured, you sent me, you know, response to former staffers, go fuck yourself. I mean, they're writing in the post about that he's lost his sting, which everybody knows. You sent me this. What is this? This is his painting?
Okay. This is a really interesting one. I wanted to delve into this. What is Howard's thing always about why he doesn't tweet? Why he was upset with JD for tweeting about his engagement? He wants everything for the air. It should be done.
Right. Why put it on Twitter when you can do it on the air? Right.
Well, Ben Stern passed away in the summer of 2022. How did the fans find out about it? They found out about it in this Hampton's art publication, Dan's Papers. August 11th, 2022. If you happen to be in the Hamptons and pick, I don't know if this is a free publication or you have to pay for it, but let's say you happen to have a copy of Dan's Papers, you would see Howard say, I lost my father recently. He was 99 years old. Not sure how old these barns are, referring to what he had painted that was inside the publication. But I feel like painting the barns is honoring him and all those growing older than gone. That was August 11th, 2022. Now, Howard was off that summer. So when he came back in September, after 30 minutes of COVID and Trump ranting to start his first show back, he finally went into how Ben passed away.
He discussed it on air. Okay.
He finally announced to the audience that Ben died. And any Howard Stern fan knows, any real fan knows how big of his parents were.
Is his mother still alive?
Ray is still alive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy.
How would you feel? I mean, as a super fan, former super fan, do you find that strange?
Extremely strange.
Yeah.
I would have expected that to be the first item of conversation went on air.
Yeah.
Not. And again, so 2022, we're still talking about COVID. August of 2022, when for the majority of non-crazy people, it was over by then.
Yep.
Like no one was still doing the shit by then.
Yeah.
Like most people. Like rational people let it go once the vaccine was available in 21. So you were now into August 22. So yeah, so this is a whole other thing where, and I have asked this question to people who have been in the rooms there, you know, and I said, is this on purpose? Or, I mean, meaning this crowbarring, the Trump stuff, and the, so basically I asked, is it on purpose that he's trying to get the MSNBC audience? Is that part of the whole calculus of the PowerPoints that you saw and the bullshit? And he said, yes, it is. And it makes sense. It really does make sense, because if you know that there's fracturing and you're not going to have a huge audience anymore, and you're, I mean, even if you stay good, you're still going to lose a lot of them because, you know, podcasts and whatever else. What you want is an audience of rich people, because that's where you can sell the good ads, right? And who are the rich people right now? Demographically speaking, where is the money? The money is in what we like to call the PMC, the professional managerial class. And what do they want to hear all the time? They want to hear Trump bad, COVID scary, Trump bad. That's what they want to hear. Whether you agree with that or not, that is a fact. That is just, that is the reality. So it makes me question, it's so hard with him because he's, his brain is gone. But I still believe, absolutely believe, there was a purposeful shift at some point where they were like, dude, if you want this audience, you got to go hard on Orange Man bad. Hard. This can't be, you know, why would Donald want that job? That can't, that's not enough, buddy. And you and I talked about it. It was kind of sudden, you know?
Like I told you, I remember him being like, the only thing I want to do is watch Trump on Fox News, Trump on Fox News. Howard's not tuned into Fox News anymore. He's all MSNBC. And he actually, here's something really interesting that he proved this week. He doesn't say Trump's name. He calls him by the former president, or I believe he said Donald a couple of times.
I'm going to give a twofold theory on this. I think a percentage of it is what we discussed, a purposeful, something on purpose that we did, you know, because we want the MSNBC audience. And the way to get the MSNBC audience is Orange Man bad, Orange Man bad, Orange Man bad, Orange Man bad. Now, you and I know MSNBC audience is never going to be like we were with Howard, ever. Right. Yeah. But that is what they want. And I can understand from a financial point of view why, because that's a good audience to have for ads. But I'm going to give you another little angle here. See what I'm showing you right now? Howard Stern for governor?
Stern for governor.
A certain someone ran for a major office in the 90s. Now, look, it was mostly a publicity stunt, for sure. And he dropped out. He was a
libertarian.
He dropped out. You know, he wasn't all that serious about it. But here we have this guy who was very much in Howard's orbit for a very long time in Trump, who is not only wins the presidency, but becomes arguably the most famous human being on earth. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, look. Whether you like him or hate him, it's pretty fair to draw the conclusion that this is a guy who's just jealous like a kid. Like,
oh, funny you say that. I gave an example, and I wanted to do a deep dive. Jennifer Woods' betrayal of a photo with Andy Cohen. I didn't give you any material on this. It'd be great if we could play clips, but we can't. In fall 2023, I believe it was, so a year ago. I think it was a year ago. It could be 2 years ago, though. SiriusXM CEO Jennifer Witz was doing some promotional videos. And behind her was a photo of Andy Cohen, or as Howard calls him, Andy Cohn, C-O-N-E, as Howard says. Howard got on the air and threw an absolute baby toddler tantrum that it should have been him in the picture. He had his fake Jennifer Witz call in, mocked her endlessly, and about a week later, and this went on for a while, but about a week later, Andy Cohn came on the show by Zoom, not that there was a studio to go to or anything. And Andy Cohn said to Howard, "Do you know who you sound like?" And the answer was Trump.
Yeah, and it's funny because it's just funny. Because anyone who pays any attention to current pop culture will tell you Andy Cohen is a zillion times more relevant than Howard Stern.
Absolutely.
Today. And yeah. Howard doesn't know that, obviously. But again, the Trump animus I find interesting on the both levels, because I think it's a mixture of both. I think they want the MSNBC audience. He's got to go hard. The COVID thing made it easy for him because everyone blamed that on him, as if Trump could have stopped the virus. And so it sort of worked well, because COVID was while on one hand, like we discussed, he was happy because he could never leave his house. On the other hand, this is a man who fears death to an insane degree.
Unbelievably fears death. Yes.
So I think it's a mixture, and I have some of the quotes from the show about on this topic.
Okay.
I don't know if any of these you want to start with.
Yeah. So we were talking about Ben's death, and I told you how he announced it in Dan's papers. Then the day that he was discussing it on the show, after he did 20 minutes on Trump and COVID, go to the one about Ben dying, holding his hand.
Yeah, he says, sometimes I see people as contagions and contagious, because when you have a type of situation where the bombs are always being lit in your relationship, you always think like people look like viruses as opposed to something you can get something good out of.
That is a direct quote from Howard about holding his hand during his father's death.
Insane.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
That is Michael Jackson level insanity.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what you're thinking of, viruses and contagions, as you're holding your father's hand while he's dying. That's insane. So I think right there, that shows you where Howard's head is at. And then, okay, let's go to the one where he responds to Alex Jones. Now, this is Howard showing, he got criticism. And so this is how I said, thou shalt not criticize. This is an example. Now, he happens to refer to right-wing radio or podcasters here, but I'm telling you, he'd say this if it was Joe Rogan or Bill Maher. I think he would say this for Bill Maher. So Howard says, quote, so they criticized him. And Howard goes, oh, so jealous. I imagine these other broadcasters like Vince, and he loves to say people's last names wrong. So he goes, Vince Colonnaise and Alex Jones, all of them. They must be so jealous of me. I'm so fucking successful, and they're just kind of not. You know what I mean? He's talking to Robin. And he goes, I mean, I feel the jealousy. That's why I don't leave my house. That's also insane.
That's Emperor's New Clothes. I mean, the guy... hate to say it, Alex Jones is probably more relevant than Howard now.
I know.
And I mean, Alex Jones is a loon, but he's probably more relevant than Howard. I mean, the guy, he just doesn't know. And
But he doesn't want to know. He doesn't know, and he doesn't want to know. So
I don't know. I mean, do you really want to be shielded from reality like that?
He does. And he has said he does.
Talk about being successful. He is trading on something he built 30 years ago, right? That is gone. Now, why they're still paying him is a mystery to me.
Seriously.
I would imagine it has something to do with the content, of being able to play the content.
Maybe. And they do own his content now. But he has it.
I just don't get it. Like, Sirius knows that he has no audience. It's not like they don't know. They know. And so it's odd to me. It must be. I can't even figure it out.
I gave you these two examples.
And we also don't know the details of the deal, do we?
I don't either.
So that's the thing, is it might not be as lucrative as you think, number one. I mean, it's still a shitload of money by your standards and my standards, but it might not be this windfall that people assume. And B, I wonder how much of it is just strictly for, there's 30 years of content that now you have. You know.
Well, it is a publicly traded company. I mean, to some extent, the information is public.
It's a mystery. I mean, although the last time he renewed was 2021. So I guess you could make the argument that at that point, even though he was completely gone by then, you could argue that if you weren't really paying attention, maybe you didn't. I mean, but I don't know. The people, they don't want to give money away for nothing. So I really would love to understand there must be more to it. There must be some other
there
thing
must be. Yeah.
You and I are not considering, because look, I feel comfortable objectively saying that he is not bringing in any new subscribers.
No.
Plucking down money.
Not
happening. No one gives a shit about him anymore. Nobody. Right. The people who listen to him now, who are not hate listening, it's passive. He's on because there's a channel 100. I'm in the car. Or right. He gets some news coverage because he makes some dumb comment or something. But right. This is not a guy that is like an 06 where he brought millions of people with him. Like, I would love to understand that. I mean, but a lot of times in these corporate things, like they throw money at crazy shit all the time. So it's not that crazy, I guess. But, you know.
Well, what bothers me is how he has such contempt for his fans. And so this, when he fans. Came back to the air in September after his first full summer off, these, I give you two quotes of what he said. Boy, was he in a mood. All he did was bitch and
Olympic
bitch.
Stars, radio people, everybody takes off. I do it for my mental health. I did it for my mental health. Fuck you. Everyone thinks I'm supposed to never have time off. Doing plenty of shows and giving you value. Right, Robin. Okay. All my fans are blasting me. I'm a fucking fuckhead because I took some time off. You guys suck. I mean, and Robin, they're treating me like these people who won't go back to work because they have government benefits. Now that's saying the quiet part out loud, isn't it? Like that's the elitism coming through.
Yes. Robin, who has no clue what's going on in the world, is still an elitist, a clueless elitist. And she's saying that they're treating him like that. Like Howard's still getting $600 a month on unemployment.
Well, this was in 21 that this comes from. So that's 3 years ago. At that point, it was still relatively new. I mean, you could argue, even though the show really started going to shit in 2014, 15, and it was a descent, right? And I left in 2018, 19. You could argue that because it didn't get nutty, crazy bonkers until summer of 2020, spring, summer of 2020. No, that's over a year later.
Yeah, and this was...
I guess people stuck around for him to even get that feedback. I'm surprised anyone cares that he takes time off. Honestly. Like, who's emailing him? Who's messaging him?
A few the summers off was a breaking point for people like me. That was a breaking point. Like,
so you're saying that even though the show went to shit, it didn't become untenably awful until mid 20. And so people kind of stuck around maybe for another year and then were like, eh. Is that?
For me, it was, the show was terrible, but I was able to hate listen to it and point out the hypocrisy. But once Howard took off 2 months and wanted me to continue paying him, I took offense. And that's when I canceled my subscription and stopped actively listening. Now I have a cheap subscription right now, which I'm not thrilled about, but I took a moral stance. I did not, I felt like he was screwing me over. Like, it's taking 2 months off.
Yeah, and
you it's gave hilarious. Me
it's and what's so juicy about this is if you were to say, okay, this guy is completely nuked he's nuked his legacy, he's worse than Imus became, all this. If I was to say to you, is there any, and there really isn't, but if you were gonna pick the closest one, what personality now comes closest to replicating what he had, which was a multi class, meaning like rich and poor, like audience, and you feel like it's organic?
Yeah,
right. I have one that comes to mind.
I've tried,
and it would be somebody he hates.
We've talked about this. I literally can't think of another.
There isn't anyone who approximates it because you kind of can't anymore, but I think Rogan comes the closest. And I am not a huge Rogan fan, but I will say this about Rogan. He's built a massive audience. He doesn't tend, I mean, he has politics, but this is a guy who endorsed Bernie Sanders. So you can't really say he's right wing, right? So.
But he's classified as right wing.
It's funny that he endorsed Bernie in 2020. He wanted Bernie in 2020. I'm going to remind him and say it again. Joe Rogan wanted Bernie to be president in 2020. Okay. So it's not really fair to say right wing. You can say he's wacky. You can say he's got weird opinions. Fine. But he's not right wing. Right. No right winger is endorsing Bernie Sanders. Okay. And I think it's just fascinating to me because Howard probably fucking hates Rogan. But Rogan is the king of the podcast world right now. And what does he do right? Right. If you're just going to be objective about it. And I'm not a Rogan fan. I tend to find his stuff kind of boring. Occasionally have a guest on that I like and I'll listen a little. It's not my thing. I don't like, I'm not a fan of UFC. So it's not my thing. But let's be fair. He has built an audience of people who, it's a very mixed group, right? It's not specifically left wing. It's not specifically right wing. I feel like he's pretty even politically. Like he tells you what he thinks. You might disagree with him, but he tells you what he thinks. And he's the closest thing because I think it is organic. I don't think he's making it up. I don't think he's trying to pander to an audience, really. I mean, maybe. I don't think he is. And that's what he's done. And he's done it where he's doing interviews specifically and nothing else. So I guess, in my opinion, that's the closest thing now to what Howard had. And here's Howard, who has become what Joe Rogan was, you know, 10 years ago, a podcaster that has a small audience. It's just interesting to me. But I'm going to pause this. Looks like Christina lost her Wi-Fi. Stan. And we're back. What I was just saying was, I think Rogan has come the closest to recapturing Howard's thing, which was an organic show where you feel like the guy's telling you his opinion. And it's not fake. And he has a pretty wide audience in terms of demographics, I think. I think that's the closest. And what's funny about it is Howard has become what Rogan was 15 years ago that Howard used to poke fun at. You know, podcaster, nobody listens to that. Well, I got news for you.
He hates podcasts, even though he has no idea he's doing one now.
Well, I mean, 10, 15 years ago when he used to talk about it, I understood it was a small thing back then, right? When Corolla started it in, 2010 or whatever it was, 2009. I can understand Howard, because he doesn't understand. I mean, he thinks in terms of radio, but Rogan's the closest there is to what Howard was. Again,
well, I was trying to think of an example of somebody who's destroyed their legacy. Like,
oh yeah, no, there's no such thing like that. For Rogan to do that, I mean, he would have to just completely change his format, start being really fake. Again, not a big fan, but you know, anyone who endorses Bernie, right, and then turns around 4 years later, I don't even know who I don't think he endorsed anyone this time. Maybe I think he RFK. I don't even know.
All I know for sure is that he has said he's not a Kamala fan. I have
right.
heard
him but say again, that. I think I know this is hard for a lot of people to understand, but I think there is a lot of people, there is an audience out there that wants authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
And even if I disagree with you, as long as I know that you're coming from a place of intellectual honesty where you've thought about something. You've used your brain to think about something, come up with your own opinion and share it. I could care less what that opinion is as long as it's honest.
I agree 100%. And that's something that is so different about Howard right now. For example, you probably aren't aware of this. He spends about from after New Year's till about Memorial Day in Florida. He never acknowledges it. He hides it.
Of course.
He still pretends he's in the Hamptons basement.
It's bad for his brand. He's in the bad state. He's bad for his brand.
Yeah. Also, he has a grandchild. He had a grandchild born during COVID from his second daughter. I think that's Deborah. The world knew about this grandchild. Howard never acknowledged.
I can give him a certain amount of slack for not bringing family into the show, especially his kids. I can give him, but what I can't, the clincher for me with him was the Ronnie thing. Is when Ronnie retires, moves to Vegas, Howard would not even say goodbye in person.
Ronnie asked to see Howard face to face, and Howard said no, and Ronnie was deeply hurt. And then Howard.
And this wasn't 2020.
It wasn't 20. It wasn't like vaccines were out already.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Wouldn't see him. Wouldn't go to his wedding, obviously.
No.
That was the clincher. There's no reason. There is no reason on earth to not make that a little bit on the show. Ronnie's last hurrah, whatever. There's no reason.
Yeah.
It's not like Ronnie doesn't want it. I mean, not bringing the kid in or the grandkid, I'll give him a break there. But again,
you can at least acknowledge that your grandfather, you can say
that doesn't bother me as much. It's just clearly formulaic. It's a mixture of a show that is formulaic, that is written in advance, fake and canned, mixed with a guy who is mentally unhealthy, nutty, crazy, rich, elitist, living in a bubble.
I hear you, but I actually think it's exposed Howard as not a good person, whereas I used to give him a lot of benefit of the doubt. Let me give you some examples. What in the episode when Ben's death was announced, Gary said on air that he was hesitant to email Howard condolences about Ben's death because he thought it might annoy Howard. And Howard was like, thanks for not emailing me. It would have annoyed me. Now, they've been working together 30 years or more.
Yeah, this is where he's not unique or different. He's a stereotype. He's an elitist. He is an elitist's elitist. You just don't get, and everything about him is just exactly the same as where we have landed with these people. The latest news of him saying he doesn't hate Trump. He hates the vote. He hates people who voted for Trump. Now, look, okay. I don't care how much I hate a politician, right? I don't hate a person for voting for them. I just don't.
Yeah.
And people have their reasons, right? And if you think that this guy is so bad and so awful and damaging and this, that, and the other, then ask yourself, why are all these people supporting someone who's so bad and damaging? Do you think they all just are bad people or stupid? All 80, whatever million of them?
Howard's not capable of that.
But that's a stereotype. And one of the reasons that we have this movement of anti-establishment people who hate the establishment and hate everything about what is currently in power, not just the policies, but everything about it, and think it's rotten and don't trust it and think that it's fake, right? Or whatever. The reason is because of guys like Howard, right? Guys like Howard will open. And again, it gets good on him to say the quiet part out loud. I hate you. I hate you. And that was honestly one of the reasons Trump won in 2016 unexpectedly was the message that he said. And I don't think he came up with this, but one of his people did. He says, they say they hate me, but they really hate you. And that was effective. And look, I don't care how you slice it. There are not enough rich people like Howard in the country to elect a president. You can't come out and say, I hate anyone who's a working class person, period, who thinks differently than me and has different incentives for voting. So that's what's interesting is that in that way, he's a stereotype. He's really no different than anyone else. But in so many other ways, like the germophobia and it's a level of elitism that is hard to even comprehend.
It is. And it's funny because it even infiltrates into his relationships with other elitists like Jimmy Kimmel. It's actually the greatest shows nowadays are when Jimmy Kimmel comes on, because in the summer of 2022 or 2023, can't remember which, but it's post vaccines. Kimmel, it had to be 2022. So Kimmel and, as Howard always calls her, and his beautiful wife Molly. I'm sorry, I can't stand Molly McNierney. She's ridiculous. I can't stand her. And you can't get a more plain Jane. I'm sorry, she's not beautiful. And I'm not claiming to be any beauty myself, but she is as plain as you can get. She's annoying. Whatever. This isn't about Molly. So, Howard and Beth invited Jimmy, Molly, and the kids out to their house, and Howard was still in COVID protocol. Howard made them get tested as their private plane landed, and they were allowed onto the compound, but they were not allowed to leave. And Howard said, "You can leave, but you can't come back." And Molly had wanted to go do some shopping in town. They wanted to see the Fallons, and it turns out that there was an embarrassing email between Jimmy Fallon's wife and Molly that Beth was copied on, and they didn't either. I don't think they intended for her to be, but it was about how many ridiculous rules there were at Howard's house, and Howard took great offense to it. He's like, "Look, Jimmy, you're here with your kids. They've got the pool, they've got the beach. Like Jimmy's house doesn't. J Jimmy works for ABC, owned by Disney. They could have a copy of the teacup ride in their yard for all we know." And Howard's like, "It's your kids are here and they've got my pool to use and it's so great." I mean, Howard was like, "I don't think it's ridiculous to ask you to just stay at my house and never leave, because you could get COVID while you're out."
Never mind that scientifically speaking, even if they got it while they're out, they can't spread it to them right away. Like,
And you
again, this is a whole other discussion, but again, you're dealing with a guy, and I would love to know behind the scenes because there is no fucking way he has not alienated a lot of people, right? And I
seriously.
know he's rich, and I know the money makes it to where you can never alienate, Will Murray or Jason Kaplan and those guys because he pays their bills, but this guy's going to die a miserable fuck, period. And I feel bad for Beth. I really do.
I do
Like,
too. I do not get the Beth hate in the
I don't
circle.
either.
I
I
don't.
agree. Never got it. Never got
No,
it.
she's not a gold digger. If she was, she'd be gone long ago. I mean, she's known since.
Honestly, his first wife I find far more annoying than Beth.
I never knew Allison much through. I wasn't listening when she was on it, but she's married to somebody who's very
She
wealthy.
married a kingpin from the Simon Malls fortune,
Oh,
I
okay.
think.
Okay.
So, anyway, yeah, I like Beth. I feel bad for her. I don't know
I
how the
do
hell
too.
she's possibly getting through this because I don't think this guy's coming back. The
No, I
guy
didn't
that
think so
she
either.
met in 06 or whatever it was, he's not coming back.
Yeah,
Like,
no.
it's gone. And,
Yeah. I
no one is going to tell him. No one's going to sit him down and say, bro, this is fucking nuts. No one's doing this. Howie Mandel is a fucking certified, diagnosed germaphobe, OCD guy, and he gave this shit up 2 years ago. So,
Mean, Howard wouldn't even talk to Dr. Drew, who they used to be
well, Dr.
friends.
Drew's, remember, he's bad now because
Because he couldn't
he
take
dared
pills.
say early on, maybe we tap the brakes and wait for more information to come out. Can't
Right.
say that. Back then, you weren't allowed to say that. Now you can say it. So, yeah,
But this time he's taking Beth down with him, and it makes me sad.
I feel bad for Beth. I don't know what the end game is. I feel like the end game is his contract is up in 26. I think that'll be it.
I don't
Whether
think
he,
so. I don't think
well,
so.
I mean, they might pay him for the content still.
No, I don't think he's going to give it up. I don't think he's
God.
ready. I know, and it's brutal. He said this week. He said just this week he can't handle not being famous. That's the worst
Well, I
thing.
got news for you, Howard. I mean, you're not famous anymore, but you're irrelevant.
He doesn't realize that at all. He doesn't at all. He doesn't, because he's in a bubble and he won't let his staff tell him reality at all.
Well, I don't think it's a matter of we won't let them, but I wouldn't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the one fucking pissing him off. I mean, it's impersonal
Well, you
clothes.
also
That's 100%.
can't get to him unless you go through Marcy.
No, and that's see, and that's the thing is, let's say, just for fun, that someone sat him down that he trusts and said, Howard, you're nobody now, right? And it's not just because of fragmentation, it's because of what you did, right? Well, if you're Howard, what do? You blame the people you hired in 2013.
He doesn't
So,
believe. I think his
well,
first
even
step
if that
is
message were to be conveyed, right? This is why it's never going to get to him, because the only people who have access to him in terms of that business are the people who you could argue are partially responsible for this.
Marcy and Jeremy. Yeah.
So he's going to retire. whether he ever gets the message of what happened and what he did, that basically the steps he took that he thought would save him from this cultural shift ended up destroying his audience. Like, on the other side, he basically overcorrected to an insane level.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's almost like, you know, I go out and I skin my knee, I fall and I skin my knee and it hurts. So I just cut my leg off. So now that I don't have to worry about my skin knee anymore.
Yeah, that is what it's like.
And so it's not going to change, but I just think it was good to go through the timeline. Cause I think when you look at the incentives, I believe it was on purpose. And I think that the badness was just accelerated by the pandemic. I think if the pandemic hadn't hit, I still feel like it would be largely the same, just not as nutty.
I agree. Yeah. Because he was well on his way.
Yeah.
Well on his way.
Yeah. And look, he's not the only person on earth that COVID melted their brain.
No.
There's others. And he fits, elitist living in a bubble. Those are the people who were afraid of COVID the most. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'll give him some slack. He is 70 years old. Okay. I mean, I get it. You're older. But yeah. So that's where we are. That's our massive analysis of the sad, I like it, from cultural icon to broken weirdo. And ironically, I use broken weirdo because that was Trump.
He is totally a broken weirdo.
Trump was right about that. That's what he is. He was right.
It was the worst. It was the most accurate phrasing you could say.
And if anyone can think of another example of somebody who is a massively famous, whether it's a musician, comedian, that not only becomes less popular and changes a little bit and evolves, whatever, but gets to a point where their previous core audience hates them, fucking hates them. And I feel comfortable saying that I'm not unique in that way.
No, you're not.
I would love to know an example because I can't think of a single one.
No, I don't think there is anyone else on par with Howard.
So in a way, like, kudos, Howard. You did something no one else did. I mean,
and he would love that. He just can't stand not being famous.
Well, I mean, he'll always be famous. That he'll always have. But what he won't have is a real core audience that likes him. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's just sad. Like my greatest wish would be that they one day allow real callers and people, like real fans, call in. Like that would be hilarious. It'll never happen, but that would be my wish. Like for him to hear, dude.
Well, the good news is he's never going to die because he has such an intense fear of death. What he wants to do is be buried in a, as he says it, mausoleum.
Mm.
And he is terrified that he's going to be pronounced dead while he's still alive. So he wants a bell on his finger and like he won't be cremated. He won't be embalmed. He wants to be in an above ground.
This is what people like him fear.
Mm-hmm.
He's got no problems in life. None.
None.
No real problems.
No.
I mean, he hasn't had a real problem in his life probably since his divorce. So
his father dying, but it's been died at 99.
He was 99. I'm not calling that a real problem. Like that's not a real problem. Real problem is, you know, I can't afford to fucking feed my family, you know, that kind of stuff. This guy, it's just sad. I mean, I used to be sad. I now hate him. I fucking think he's awful. My greatest wish is that one day, somehow, some way, reality seeps in. And look, reality has a way of doing that. It does. Over a long period of time.
His denial is extreme.
Well, he'll deny it, but I mean, I don't know that he's even been informed. You've nuked your audience, Howard.
Yeah.
Nuked them. They're gone. Yeah. Long gone. Not just gone, but long gone. Never coming back. He could announce tomorrow, okay, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done this in 2013. My fault. I'm not coming back. Fuck off, dude. Fuck off. You're nuts.
All right. We've said it all.
That's right. That's right. I appreciate everyone tuning into the Heeb and Shiksa. And, we'll play it. Because it's a sad story, I'm going to play the sad outro. Do you like the Neil Young one or the emo one?
Emo.
All right. So we'll do emo. All right. Here
we go. All right.
Welcome you, even boy, one gentleman. even going.